This is Brittany Estes, and you're listening to the Radical Radiance Podcast.
Hey, friends, welcome back to the Radical Radiance Podcast. My name is Rebecca George. I'm your host, and I'm so excited to be joined by my friend Brittany Estes today to talk all about Chapter 4 of Do the Thing, Gospel-Centered Goals, Gumption, and Grace for the Go-Getter Girl. We are talking all about owning the ordinary and trusting God in the everyday mundane moments of our calling. And so you are going to absolutely love Brittany, and make sure you check out her brand new book, Flip the Script. We talk about it at the end of this episode, so make sure you listen all the way to the end for that. And before we get to it, have you ordered your copy of Do the Thing? As we go through this series where we're walking through each individual chapter, I want to make sure that you have the content in the book to walk through as well as we have these conversations. So if you haven't bought it yet, go on over to your favorite online retailer and grab your copy of Do the Thing today, and help me welcome my friend Brittany to the show. Brittany, I am so excited to welcome you to the show. Finally, this is so fun. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. Like, I love you and I love your podcast, and this is a dream. So let's go.
Well, likewise, I'm so thankful, and it has been such a sweet journey getting to connect with you in the season where God connected us. It was this sort of fleeting moment where we lived about an hour apart for about a year, which I wish I would have known that like a year prior, right? Because we lived an hour apart for so long that we didn't realize. It's just been really fun to be able to walk through this journey together. We're both releasing books in the same month, which is just such a God orchestrated thing. And I'm so thankful that we've gotten to walk through this together and just ask each other questions along the way and connect along the way. And so it felt so right to have you be a part of one of these conversations about a chapter in Do the Thing. And so we're going to talk about that throughout this episode. And then at the very end, I want listeners to stick around because Brittany is going to share a lot about the book that she is releasing this year as well. And so this episode is going to be really geared towards chapter 4 of Do the Thing, which is called Own Your Ordinary. So how do we be faithful in those ordinary, mundane moments of our calling that we all have? And so as we have in all of these episodes, we're pulling out some of the passages that we talk about throughout the chapter and kind of having some questions specific to that. And then we'll talk a little more broadly about the topic. And so the first passage that I pulled out was in Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. I'm going to read that for us. This is Paul talking, and he says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And as I was thinking about all we're both walking through and the message of your book in light of this topic that we get to talk about today, it just felt so fitting. You've been writing all about how God renews our mind and helps us flip the script on a lot of the lies that the enemy feeds our minds. And so as we think about this passage, what does that process look like for you when you're struggling to believe something maybe that you know is true in your head that we see in scripture, but you don't necessarily feel it in your heart and it's really hard to live out?
Gosh, I'm actually so glad you asked that. And we kind of talked about this before we recorded, but I said, if ever there was a question for such a time as this, so we're recording this before my book launches. And I told you yesterday, I had a moment of reckoning where literally everything within me was lies were popping up, old scripts, like just struggle after struggle. And I had to walk out what I write in my book in real time. And so for me, a lot of times that looks like, okay, I'm going to feel these feelings. So I'm going to cry about it. I'm going to understand it, but I can't live in them. We've heard that saying of don't trust your feelings. And there's an extent where you get to embrace them and you get to feel them, but you cannot make decisions just based off of that. So then I have to shift from, okay, Lord, I'm going to pray And I'm going to ask your word to remind me what is true. And we see it's possible. Like you literally just read in Romans that it's possible to renew our minds, but we renew our minds through his strength and the truth of his word. So then I spend some time in the word. And then my favorite way to finish processing, and literally what I did yesterday, was to go out and run, because that helps me kind of recenter, to kind of blow it off and literally process and say, okay, whew, now I can start over. Now I know the truth. It may take me a moment to feel it, for like my feelings to catch up with what truth says. But what I can tell you is every time that I have been in those seasons and I've decided to shift it and to flip the script in my mind, that he has met me there. And all of a sudden I'm like, okay, this makes sense. And I start living again, what is truth? I start remembering what is truth. And it doesn't take long now from that. It doesn't change the fact that there's moments where I feel it, but it reminds me, because the path has been successful. If I walk this, all of a sudden I'll start feeling this again, because it is truth. It is capable. We can flip the scripts in our minds.
Psst. Did you know that my debut book, Do the Thing, Gospel-Centered Goals, Gumption, and Grace for the Go-Getter Girl, is available wherever you like to buy books? I wrote it just for you, friend. So if you are ready to see your gifts and talents from a gospel-centered perspective, prioritize goals related to your calling as you move forward with gumption and grace, maximize your passions in the work you do every day, actively partner with God to serve him and love others, and overcome negative thought patterns so you can brainstorm, develop, and create with the confidence of a go-getter girl. If that sounds like you, then I want you to order today at the link in the show notes below. Each chapter includes prayer prompts, scripture for further study, questions for reflection, action steps to move your goal forward, and accompanying videos for individual or small group discussion. So grab a friend or 12 and let's use God's word as our compass to do the thing. After all, if not now, when? One of my greatest joys is having the opportunity to come share God's word at women's events, retreats, and conferences. I'm booking speaking engagements for this year and next year, and would love to chat with you about your church's next event. Shoot me an email at hello@radicalradiance.live to start a conversation today.
It's so good. And I love the reminder of where it's not all on us or up to us to flip that script. He is the one that renews our minds by his strength. Sure. And I think sometimes, especially with our personalities, it feels really hard when you're a doer of knowing like the transformation is not done in my own strength, right? I'm relying on him. And I love that reminder so much. And as I'm thinking, it sort of is a good segue into the other passage that we're talking about of putting on the full armor of God. Yeah. And I think sometimes, at least when I think about this passage, it was taught to me, and maybe this, we think about like the warrior language and the armor language that's used, and it felt very big and very like something absolutely very important, but like, what does that actually mean on a Tuesday when I'm struggling to believe that God's called me to do what he's called me to do? And how do I do that in the mundane, right? And so I'm just going to read what might feel like a familiar passage to us, but I'd love to just read this full passage in Ephesians 5, verses 10 through 20, which says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit,
with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And so as we read this and we think about just being in the middle of our ordinary, why is it so vital that we put on the whole armor of God?
Well, first of all, I think it's a miss if we say we only need to do this when big things happen. You know, like yes. you said, like it feels like a huge thing. So I'm going to go speak in front of 1,000 people. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put my armor on and then I'm going to take charge. Or I'm going to go out on a mission trip. So I'm going to put my armor on before I take charge. But the problem is you don't know how to bear that weight. You don't understand what it feels like if you're not doing it on the everyday. And every day is actually a battle. Like we talk about in here, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Like, so every day that we show up, there's our reality that we see, and then there's a reality that we can't see. So this helps me show up in my ordinary life. When I sit up out of bed, I heard someone say one time that I put on the armor of God before I even step out of bed, because that's going to help me in dealing with my children, because I have 7 of them. So understanding what it's like to parent them, understanding what it's like to show up in these small places and spaces for my calling, I'm going to know what to do. I'm going to know how to live my life. I'm going to look for opportunities to advance the kingdom and share the gospel. And those things happen by daily saying, this is who I am. This is how I'm showing up. And if I don't do it on the daily, then I won't be prepared for when those big things come my way.
Yeah, it is like a training ground, right? I'm thinking of even it helps train us to be battle ready and prepares us for those moments that might seem so insignificant here on earth.
Yeah.
But how often do we deem something so insignificant in our eyes that is not at all insignificant in the eyes of God, right? Yeah. And God has reminded me of that over and over in the last couple of years, of just being so aware of how he puts divine appointments in front of us all of the time, even in, you know, the grocery line at Kroger or wherever we are. And so I think this just enables us to be ready and prepared for just how God wants to use us. And so I love that so much. And there's another passage that really encourages me in the Gospels. And this is Jesus talking, and again, a familiar passage, but in light of thinking about the ordinary, sometimes we're just weary. And even you and I talked about that a little bit before we got on, of just, you know, this season that we're both running in and how exhausting it can be. And I know listeners in their own lives will relate to that on some level. And we all face that in just the everyday Tuesdays of life. And so this passage, just in the words of Jesus, just encouraged me so much from Matthew 11. I'm going to read these verses for us, 25 through 30. And it says, "At that time, Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.'" And so I wonder, as we're, you know, both coming to this conversation, I would argue a little weary today, right? Yes. How does that encourage you? How do those words of Jesus encourage you in the middle of kind of the ordinary every day?
Yeah. It's beautiful because it's an invitation. Yeah. And it's an invitation because he loves us. And so he's saying, take this. Like, I understand your natural reaction, Brittany, your natural reaction, Rebecca, is to want to do and juggle and hold, because to some extent, we still believe that the outcome is in our control. And the success is based on how much we show up and what we juggle, because we're doing it for the kingdom. So that's honorable, but yet there's still this fleshly, you know, pull in us to help advance it, to help do it. And he says, I'm asking you to bring it to me. Like, I've got this. What I have to offer you is actually rest. And it's like soul deep, body filling rest. And when you do that, when you place all these worries and these burdens and all these things that we're carrying in our everyday and in our job and in our calling, whatever that may be, then he says, I'm going to give you something so beautiful that we're just going to walk in tandem, because what I have to offer is light. Like, there's no heaviness in it. There's no anything. And I think something shifts in me when I operate out of, it's not on me and it's a blessing and I'm just going to rest in him. Like we talked about earlier, finding those divine appointments, when I just watch out for those instead of striving or pushing or pulling my way into places, then I can meet that with a different kind of energy and a different kind of hope. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And I'm thinking about, I don't know, as we walk into our days more aware of how God is at work, is there something that helps you do that better? Is there something that like opens, I don't know, that you do that opens your eyes more to how God wants to use you? I know for me, I almost liken it to a muscle that I continue to develop, right? When I am aware of one of those moments and I step out in faith, it helps me flex that muscle to be more aware. And the more reps that I get of that, the more I'm like, okay, God, I see what you're doing. The last time I followed you, I took that step of obedience and you honored that, you blessed that. And so I'm aware of that you're doing this again. And so I don't know, as you think about that, are there things that help you be faithful in that?
Well, yeah, it for sure is a muscle that you need to flex and be willing to flex. I think the more you do that, that builds your faith. And I also think the more that you share about that, it builds other believers' faith. So they can understand when they feel like the Lord is putting something in front of them, or there's a divine appointment or a nudge, or they hear him, they're kind of like, well, I remember that one time Rebecca told me she did that. It doesn't seem so crazy. I'm going to try it. But the thing that helps me on a daily basis is to say, okay, God, what do you want me to know? And what do you want me to do? Is there something you have for me? So I'm walking into the grocery store and it's so easy. And I have to do this. Like, it sounds very spiritual and very holier than thou. And it's really not, because this is my moment of saying, I need to recenter myself, because it's easy for me to run into the store saying, I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to talk to anybody. I have 1,005 groceries I need to put into this cart because I have 7,500 kids at home.
Yes.
You know, so I'm just on a mission. And I have to take a second and say, okay, let me flip the script on my heart for this moment. And maybe the Lord has something there. So Lord, open my eyes to what you want me to see. And I'm just very cognizant of that. And if I feel a pulling or a tugging or just something, I'm kind of like, okay, so what do you want me to do with that? Where do you want me to go with this? Is there something, or do I just need to pray for this person on my own? But I have to position my heart in a way to notice those things and then be diligent to follow through, like you said. And the more you do it, the easier it is.
Yeah, it's like anything. The more reps we have, the more, not that taking action on those moments will ever be easy, but I think it's something that we develop more and more.
For sure.
And so, yeah, that's so good. And I'm thinking about the girl who is in the middle of her mundane season, perhaps, and she feels God stirring her heart towards something new and maybe a new goal that she's chasing after. Sometimes, and I know I've experienced this, it feels overwhelming, just like the weight of something God's putting on our heart, right? And so I think sometimes it can be helpful to dream and think about almost breaking it up into smaller steps, right? Like, I'm thinking of me and you when we sensed that God was calling us to write a book. That felt very weighty to me in the beginning. And for me, it helped to just sit down and think about, okay, well, what's the process behind that? How do I break that up into smaller steps so it doesn't feel so overwhelming? I wonder, in your life, what's helped you break that down or maybe make it feel a little less overwhelming?
Well, for sure, it can be overwhelming. I think if you've got a big God-sized goal or dream, then it's going to feel overwhelming because you can't do it in your strength. But realistically, how do you walk that out then? Here's the good news, is you can break it into smaller pieces. So I always tell people, you know, I'm a coach. I tell them, let's take the idea and let's walk it backwards. What does it take to get to here? Okay, then here and here. And we start off with small pieces, because if you're always looking at the big thing, then it's going to be almost unattainable and it's going to be so easy to miss. But if you focus on this small thing, then you can accomplish that. And then that confidence builds your ability to say, okay, let's move to the next step and do that. Let's move to the next step. Another thing that I think is important, if you're saying your goal and your dream is, you know, kingdom focused or anything like that, then it probably involves someone else, not just yourself. Like, yeah. I want to be a millionaire. Okay, well, that feels very weird. What for? You know, we wrote books because we have the hope and desire to help people. And yeah. So I have to focus on my who, and I have them very detailed out. These are the people I'm writing for. And when I get stuck or when it seems overwhelming, I will look at their face and I will pray for them. And I will say, this keeps me going. This doesn't make sense on how I can get these things done. Or this task feels so small, like it is not advancing me to my goal, you know, in the absolute mundane of everything. But I say, no, I'm doing it for her. And I will keep showing up for her, because her freedom matters more to me than the rejection, or my freedom matters more to me than the mundane task, or my freedom matters more to me than the fear of not meeting the goal. I will keep fighting for that.
Yeah, that's so good. So, so good. And I'm thinking of some moments I know I experienced along the way, and I'm sure you have as well. And I call these moments our third lap of the mile moments. I tell the story in the book of when I used to train with this group of runners in Knoxville, and one of my very least favorite workouts leading up to a marathon was mile repeats. And for me, and I'm sure you'll relate to this, Brittany, because you're also a runner.
Yeah.
In mile repeats, the third lap of the mile is the absolute worst, right? The first lap, yes, easy peasy. You're full of energy. You're excited about what you're doing. Maybe not on that particular day, but metaphorically, you get where I'm headed. The second lap, you're kind of still in the game. It's early on. The third lap, you're still so far away from being done. And yet you've went so far and your arms are weary, your legs are tired, your lungs are about to burst, and you're weary, right? And I think we feel that way in our calling. A lot of times it feels like the third lap of the mile. And so when you're there, what helps you in your calling?
Gosh, right? Well, yeah, I definitely know this. And I liken it to like almost like the 16th mile.
Yeah, the 16th mile of the marathon. That's another great way to say it. Yeah.
Because you're just kind of like, I've run 16 miles. That's incredible. But then you're also like, I have way more to go, like 10 more. This is insane. And it's easy to say, well, I could just stop now, or I could just not show up. And that's where I think also the visualizing what I'm doing this for, what's at stake, you know, if I don't do this, helps me go forward. And I have to say, okay, I understand. It goes back to that feelings thing that we were talking about from the very first one. Like, I feel like everything's falling apart. I feel like this is hard, or I feel like we're never going to get to the light at the end of the tunnel. And then I have to say, okay, no, Lord, I need you to take a moment and renew my mind at this thinking. If you have called me to this, there's a reason for it. So what's the truth in this situation? I'm going to keep showing up because I'm going to give you the things that are hard, and you're going to show me what I need to take on and what I need to do. I'm going to take breaks when they're needed. That is absolutely okay in your calling to say, okay, today feels junk. I'm going to be okay with that. I'm going to quit for a day, but tomorrow I'm going to get up and say, here we are again, and start all over. But as long as you keep starting over, as long as you keep showing up, you will make it to the end of the mile. You will make it to the end of the marathon, but you have to keep your goal in focus and the reason why you're doing this goal and who you're showing up for, and then saying, okay, God, you get to do the rest because I can't. I can't do it.
Yeah, that's so good. Two things I'm thinking of as you talk about that. One is something the Lord's been teaching me of something I've not balanced well in the past of we see a very real case for grace in scripture. We see a very real case for self-discipline and doing things with excellence. And yet
at least in my own life, I don't balance both of them very well. And a couple months ago, to keep with a running analogy, I was on a run at my parents' house. It was a route that I'd done, I mean, hundreds of times in the past. And as you know, we, in the last 6 to 8 months, we have moved. We've joined a whole new church community. I have marketed and we're launching a book. It's just been a whirlwind of a season for our family. And I've done a lot more walking and riding my Peloton bike and just a little bit lower intensity of workouts than what would be my norm. And I just am not in the running shape that I would probably prefer to be in. And anyway, or that would be nice just because life. And so I was on this run and I was really struggling. And I had this moment of shame of feeling like, man, I'm not where I used to be. I can't run at the pace that I used to run at. I'm having to walk a lot of this route that used to be so easy for me. Mm-hmm. And I just sensed the Lord say in that moment, like, Rebecca, you don't, something I want to teach you is like how to balance grace and self-discipline. Because both can exist in our lives, right? I can give myself the grace of, okay, 2022 was an insane year for our family. And yes, I'm still out there moving my body, but it doesn't look like it once did. That's okay. Mm-hmm. And also, I can do all things with excellence to the glory of God. I can have self-discipline in this area and I can finish this walk run. And also give myself the grace that I'm not where I once was, right? And so I think as we walk into these moments where we're weary, that's just a tension that I've been talking to the Lord a lot about, because I think it's a tension that is really hard to manage, but it's possible, right? Mm-hmm. And like you're saying, and this is a quote from the book, the other thing that was coming to mind was this idea of, again, it's not all on us or up to us. And something I say in the book is the outcome of the thing, whatever, you know, God's called us to, the outcome is His, but the obedience is ours. The outcome is His, the obedience is on us. And so again, just continuing to take one step and one foot after the other, even when we're weary, the outcome, that's not on our shoulders. And that encourages me so much. And so I love that. So one of the questions that I'm asking all of my guests that I'm bringing onto these episodes, and I'm excited to ask you this, Brittany, is what if you could give your best piece of advice to the girl listening who just desperately wants to see her calling from a gospel-centered perspective, what would that be?
I would say to sit and just dream with the Lord about it. It's easy to, sometimes I think we in the Christian culture have, or myself especially, have heard dreams or thought dreams or like had plans and then thought, well, that must be super selfish. That's just me. Like, how does this make sense? You know, and it's taken me some time to say, you know, He delights in our desires. Like, He has given us these giftings because He's a good father. And He is an excellent gift giver. So why would He not want to give you something that brings light and joy to your life? But the goal is you need to sit with Him and say, okay, God, what would You have? What would this look like if You would let me run with it? And continuing to say, okay, this is what it would look like with the Lord's lens on it. It may not be a $1 million bestseller book, but what it is something to bring freedom to a generation. And if I focus on that and His freedom to a generation, then it's almost like that $1 million bestseller kind of fades in the background. It's something that I have to continually check, because the world says it's not success if it's not this. The world says it's not success if it's not, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I have to say, wait, success is this. And I'm going to keep it centered on Him and His truth, because I'm going to continue to sit back and have almost like conference calls with Him, you know, okay, Lord, where are we going now? You know, what's our plan? How do I keep this on You? Because I'm going to naturally try to grab it and take it and run with it on my own. So what does that look like?
Yeah, that's so good. Such good questions to ask. I love that. And then There is a question that I ask all of my guests that come on to the show Radical Radiance, even outside of this series that we're doing. And it's my very favorite question. It goes back to just the heart of the podcast of having conversations that teach us more about what it looks like to radiate the heart of Jesus in our life, our work, our relationships, and all that we do. And so the question I love asking is, what about Jesus makes you radiant?
Gosh, I just love that question because I love the word radiant. It's one of my favorites. And it just makes you feel like you shine. And I think the thing about Jesus is his freedom and the fact that he walked his path and there was no plan laid out for him, no blueprint. And he came to tear down religion and laws and things like that. And he flipped the script basically and said, no, I'm going to meet with these people and I'm going to walk this out. And I'm going to show you what living in freedom and not laws and standards and striving and stuff looks like. And it was so peaceful and it was so incredible and it was so freeing. So when I step into who I am and what that looks like, and I'm honoring the Lord, I'm radiating the freedom that has been given to me through the sacrifice of Jesus and through his love. And every step of what I do, I want people to see that freedom and that it's obtainable to them because I want it to be contagious. I want them to see him and his light radiating out through me.
So good. I love that. That's beautiful. Okay. I'm so excited for you to share with everyone all about your new book called Flip the Script. We've used that language a few times throughout this episode, sort of as a teaser. And so I would love for you to share a little bit about that before we go.
Yeah. So my book is called Flip the Script, Make Your Move from Broken to Brilliant. And it's really a love letter to women in a younger generation saying, this is your mind has been kind of taken hold by some negative narratives, some harmful scripts that you're believing and they're plaguing you. So how do you recognize those things? How do you understand them and then flip them and replace them with God's truth? And it's less of some scientific statements on these are all the data. This is all that. I get that. And it's sprinkled in with some of that. But I want you to see in real life, in real time, what that looks like. Because I think the problem is a lot of us don't see what scripts we're listening to. We don't recognize them. And when someone else says, well, this is where I'm living it out in my life, you're like, oh goodness, that's me too. That's what I'm listening to. That's the thing. And then I want them to see that it's also possible to go from these harmful scripts, these lies that you're believing. We call it in the book old script, new script. So going from your old script and what that looks like in the new script. So I hope that you can get it and listen to it. It's on Amazon. You can grab it right there. And I'm sure many retailers at this point.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, I am so, so thrilled for you and so excited to see what God does through the message of this book. And I'm so thankful that you would come on and share in this series that we're doing about Do the Thing. And I'm so excited for listeners to just get to hear from you on this topic. So thank you for being my guest today.
Same. Thank you so much.
Hey friends, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I did. Go grab a copy of Flip the Script wherever you like to buy books. And next week we will be back as we talk about chapter 5 of Do the Thing, Gospel-Centered Goals, Gumption, and Grace for the Go-Getter Girl. I will see you then.